SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. In this second hour, exactly 1 week away from the 2025 NFL Draft, the opening round, exactly 1 week from now on a Thursday night in Green Bay, we get you set with all those big draft discussions here to start off this second hour. We then hope to be joined by former Pitt tight end Gavin Bartholomew, who will hope to hear his name called next weekend outside of Lambeau as well. One of the greatest mullets you will ever see. We hope to hear from Bartholomew a little bit later on in this second hour. Mark Zeno will join for some draft discussions and his early thoughts on this Major League Baseball season. Can't wait to talk some MLB with Zeno DRS. Ask him those hard-hitting questions about his New York Yankees and what he feels about the Yanks pulling off the sweep this week against the Royals.
Yep, ask him like, hey, do you like Aaron Judge? Are you a fan of him? All right, let's get those hot topics right out of the way quickly. But I'm excited here, hour number two. Like the interviews that come up here. And also, interesting doings in the NFL draft because I'm not sold just yet. And it looks like the odds market is moving to certain things being sold at this point right now, which I'm holding out hope that some of these price changes could be wrong and you might be in for some movement in the top three.
And DRS, that's exactly where we begin. Some big questions for one of the biggest events each and every NFL offseason, that being the 2025 NFL Draft. And speaking of movement, let's start right there. Not just odds movements in the markets that are opening up, but a lack of movement around the National Football League. As of this point, all 32 NFL franchises still hold on to their original first-round pick. Donnie, that is the only time in the modern era of the NFL draft, dating back to 1994, the only time since 2002 when the National Football League became 32 clubs with the addition of the Houston Texans, the only time in the last 20-plus, 30-plus years that every NFL team still holds on to its original first-round pick into the league year and now just a week out from the 2025 NFL draft. So let's start there. When, if at all, DRS, do you think there could be some pre-draft movement and some pre-draft trades?
Yeah, I don't know, because it might come down to draft night for that final move because, you know, pressure bursts pipes at that point, which means that, hey, we might want to move up to two while that asking price is too high. Once you are on the clock, it's like, I better make that move now because I don't want to hold on to that at that point here. But also, I want to know this. If you are an agent or an agency with Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, let's just say a top five pick, what do you tell them this week? This is one of those that's like, look, you can't go to the club this week. You can't be out in public. We can't risk anybody with a camera on you if you're doing anything shady, even if you don't mean to do it here. Somebody starts a fight with you in the club or even, hey, I'm out training. Because understand this, like life happens. Cam Ward doing drills, hurting an ACL. Like, I wonder, like, this has got one of the most pressure-packed weeks for the top prospects because of how many millions of dollars are up in the air. Like, hey, I just need you for one thing. The Titans are going to take you. Just don't practice or lift weights for an entire week until that contract is signed, basically, when you're drafted and you're slotted in. What a week it is, really.
Yeah, it probably is nerve-wracking, right? It is a lifetime, a changing opportunity that we are going to see 1 week from now in the parking lots of Lambeau Field where that draft stage is being built, probably already built as we speak. Probably just hang out and enjoy yourself, DRS. Play Fortnite like Cam Ward and tell everybody that two of your top four wide receivers in the National Football League are Calvin Ridley and Treylon Burks. And then we know exactly where you are going. Let's go to that second, then, big picture question. DRS, we have the odds out for the top five picks in the 2025 NFL draft to be the number one overall pick, number two, number three, number four, number five. I expect at some point in the next 7 days to have all of those odds markets for the first 10 picks. But let's start with the top five. Minus 20,000, the price on Cam Ward to go first overall to the Tennessee Titans. always the small caveat, doesn't have to be the Titans that draft him at number one for that pick to be cashed, but just where the draft order is right now. Cam Ward minus 20,000 to go first overall. Travis Hunter minus 380 to go second. Abdul Carter now minus 400 to go third. That was minus 270 yesterday, already a strong minus money price made even stronger. Will Campbell, nearly a $2 odds-on favorite, to go fourth overall. In Mason Graham, minus 130 to be that fifth overall selection. Let's start with the top three, DRS, and then we can move from there. To you, is the top three going to look exactly like that 1 week from now?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is, like, Travis Hunter to be the second overall pick at minus 470, getting higher and higher. It's not that I disagree with it, because he's a great football player and probably deserving to go number two if the team that drafts him wants him there. But the thing I don't understand is you try to take a look at the premium positions in the NFL. On offense, it's quarterback. On defense, it's edge pass rusher. So when I break it down and say the question marks that you might have, like, you know, over the past couple, like, you have top five picks that are outside passers. Yeah, it looks like he's going to be a good one, maybe a little bit of a project. Like, you look at Abdul Carter, cut from the cloth of an absolute game record the minute you draft him for the next 10 years. And I say to myself, and again, it's not a knock on Travis Hunter, who could be a very good shutdown cornerback. But at that premium position, if you are the Cleveland Browns and you pass over, doesn't another team maybe come up from like 6, 7, 8, or 9 and say, this is a generational, possibly pass rusher. I need to trade up and get him at 2, which means Travis Hunter might have gone 2, but the Cleveland Browns might have wanted him, but traded out because I think with a team's more likely to trade up for Abdul Carter than Travis Hunter. So when I look at that price point at plus 350 for Abdul Carter, it raises an eyebrow for me because he is the best player in this draft. And if Cleveland gets a pretty sweet deal or is not happy with where they're at and trades back, I don't think a team is trading up to number 2 to go get Travis Hunter. I think that team trading up to number 2 would be for Abdul Carter. So I'm holding out hope that that could be a possibility.
That's interesting, DRS. Oftentimes in the NFL draft, you don't really see trades up the board drastically, especially that early on in the top 5, top 3, top 10 for anybody but a quarterback. I do agree, though. I think Abdul Carter is the best overall prospect in this draft. He's not going to go first overall. That's going to be Cam Ward. Of course, that makes logistical sense. The Titans in desperate need of a quarterback with a second-year head coach and an offensive mind in Brian Callahan. Cam Ward, we're all but waiting for that official confirmation. He is the first overall pick. I still do, though, believe, DRS, as you alluded to, that minus 380 price on Travis Hunter is no longer. It is minus 470, that it is Hunter, our reigning Heisman winner, who goes second overall to Cleveland. And I think at third overall, despite some late steam, perhaps the Giants are once again interested in Shedeur Sanders. I do think that's going to be Abdul Carter at that minus 400 price. For me, yeah, we can see some movement in the odds. There might be some conversations in a season and a final week ahead of the opening round defined by its smokescreens, its lies, and its speculation. To me, I think the top three of the 2025 NFL draft looks exactly like that. Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee, Travis Hunter 2 to Cleveland, Abdul Carter 3 to the New York Giants.
Yeah, and it looks like that way. And usually the late smoke screens aren't going to change as much as like the weeks previous here. But also understand this, Will Anderson of the Houston Texans now, they went up and got him at number 3 in that draft. So there are some capabilities where if you expect that this year is the year of a pass rusher as opposed to next year, you'll spend that extra capital to make sure you get that guy this year. But we got a long way to go before next Thursday. But some of these numbers starting to settle in of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, absolutely, Donnie. And I don't think we see any trades before the draft, but during? Now, that's a different story. Where does Shedeur Sanders go? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
1 week away from the 2025 NFL Draft, we ask the big questions here on this Thursday, 1 week out from our opening round, our opening night in Green Bay, Wisconsin. On this Thursday, we know that one final private workout is being held in Boulder for Shedeur Sanders, that the New York Giants are going to be in attendance at, doing their due diligence, checking off those final boxes perhaps, actually evaluating Shador to think if they are going to use that third overall pick on Colorado's quarterback? Now, that is the question. DRS, when all is said and done, exactly 1 week from now, where does Shador Sanders go in the 2025 NFL draft?
Not in the top five. And I know, he's not supposed to, I guess, at this point now. But understand this. The thought process was you have a 1 and 2 quarterback in this draft. Number one's going to definitely go to the Titans. And then Cleveland, who really needs it, which is kind of astounding, isn't it, Ben? You have quarterback needy teams up top, which is why they're bad football teams. Quarterbacks always get overdrafted. Now we're getting a lot of second guesses here. From, let's just say, from Cleveland and New York's perspective. I think they're down to this point by saying, we like Shador Sanders. We need a quarterback. But they're really good football players. We cannot pass up just to make sure we get that quarterback. We can reevaluate if Shador Sanders slips out of the top five and the draft capital will cost to go up and get him. Because I think the Giants, per se, I don't like what they did in the offseason with the quarterbacking if they wind up with Shador Sanders, because we'll have to play right away. And you spent some capital on Winston and you spent some capital on Russell Wilson. But hear me out on this. If you come away with, let's just say, Travis Hunter at number three, or even if you did stay there to get Abdul Carter, and then in the bottom half of the round, let's just say 17, 18, if Shador is still there, you trade up and get him, that's a massive win. Like you said, man, we came away with our quarterback and what we think is the best player in the draft. Let's get on with it here. But for me, it seems like he is going to slip more than what we initially thought. Like, no way Shador makes it past five. It looks like he is going to make it past five.
Plus 260 right now for Shador Sanders to be a top five pick. That is not favored to go in the opening five selections. He is, however, a minus 250 favorite to be a top 10 selection. So if you use the odds to paint a picture, DRS, and you couple it with another market, the team most likely to draft Shador Sanders, that most likely landing spot to me right here, right now, is at number 9 overall, where the New Orleans Saints are drafting. Rookie head coach, bright offensive mind in Kellen Moore, an injured veteran quarterback in Derek Carr, his future murky in the Big Easy. Go get your face of the franchise that you hope is successful from the jump and for many, many years to come in partnership with that new head coach of Kellen Moore. But some changing odds in that market as well. Plus 130 for the Saints to draft Shador Sanders. But now that second shortest price, no longer the Giants, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers at a 4-1 ticket. I bet that price a couple of weekends ago in the Garden State, the Steelers to be the team to select Shador Sanders at plus 900. Now, I don't think that happens at 21st overall, where Pittsburgh is slotted to pick right now in next week's opening round. But to me, Donnie, that's where the movement could be. Pittsburgh trying to trade up ahead of New Orleans, maybe with the Patriots at 4, maybe with the Jaguars at 5, Raiders at 6, Jets at 7, somebody early and ahead of the Saints to go get their quarterback, knowing they need to draft a quarterback to alter the future of that franchise in Pittsburgh.
Exactly. Stop kicking the can down the street. Like, hey, we'll just bring in Mason Rudolph and it'll be just fine. I'll tell the fan base that. No, it's not. You either have your quarterback or you don't. Any team, regardless of where they take Shador Sanders, let's just say in the first round, if they need their future quarterback, I'm not knocking that decision because I'm not the one breaking down the tapes and I don't think he can play football. There's a lot of intangibles that Shador Sanders has that not a lot of other kids coming into the draft have, like being brought up in a pro household, being taught the pro game right away and understanding how to handle yourself on the biggest stage with the highest expectations. There's a lot to that because even from my Philadelphia Eagles fandom, Carson Wentz came from North Dakota, comes over to Philadelphia, had a little bit of a tough time acclimating to the big city at that point. And you see how that worked out for him. I don't think Shador Sanders going like, man, I don't know if I can handle the spotlight in New York. It's really bright. Absolutely not. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they take a shot on Shador Sanders, I don't mind that. They need a quarterback. Get your future started now.
And they need to do that in year number 19 under Mike Tomlin because that has been a missing 19. Ingredient since the prime of Ben Roethlisberger. DRS, of course, with that final workout today in Boulder and the Giants in attendance, there is still the idea that Shador could go third overall. Plus 650 for that to be the case. Not exactly a favorable price. Plus 410 for the Giants to be the team that drafts Shador Sanders. Could they trade back into the first round and early, sacrificing a lot? Wouldn't make a lot of sense with the offseason acquisitions of signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Why do that? to then draft your quarterback after you have already made those moves. I think the next big quarterback question is, how many QBs do we see in the opening round? Donnie, much like you, if you would have asked me 2 months ago, even a month ago, yeah, I would have said two. Cam Ward first, and at some point, Shedeur Sanders. I think he's worthy of a top five pick, but certainly early in the opening round. The odds are telling us there are going to be three, and that's not really up for debate based on the price for Jackson Dart to be a first-round pick. The Ole Miss quarterback now minus 700 to go at some point in the opening round. Donnie, my question is not how many QBs do we see, but if it's not going to be Shedeur at number nine to the Saints, where exactly does Jackson Dart fit?
Yeah, and again, some teams that like these quarterbacks, you're going to get to eat, you know, have your cake and eat it too, is what I want to explain, yeah, which means, like the New York Giants, honestly, like their scenario was, oh, we need a quarterback. But what happens if you do get one of the best talented players in the draft, then trade back into the draft around 10 or 13 and get your quarterback? I don't care if it's Chuck, I don't care if it's Shedeur Sanders, but if you identify, and again, Jackson Dart as your guy, that's a big-time win because you came away with what you think is your future quarterback and a fantastic player for the short term right now. And then, of course, you expect them to play 5 and 10 years in the NFL. That's what I want. But quarterbacks are always underdrafted. Understand this, too.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles sit at that 32nd spot, which is very envious for a team that's like, you know what? I think this could be my quarterback of the future to get that extra year under wraps where you can afford to sit the player as opposed to a second round. You can't really do that because it's only a four-year deal. So somebody is going to go 30, 31, and 32 that maybe you didn't anticipate would be a first-round pick at quarterback.
Yep, we'll keep an eye on it in this next week. Plenty more draft talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
1 week out from the 2025 NFL Draft, and you don't need to keep hearing from myself or Donnie about our NFL Draft thoughts. Let's bring on a guy right now to this Thursday morning on the early line that is going through the process as we speak. Former Pitt tight end Gavin Bartholomew joins us live right here on this Thursday on TEL, live from the Pitt facility. Gavin, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
You'll have to take my word for it, as it's under his hood right now. But one thing I can guarantee you about Gavin Bartholomew, the best mullet that you will see of any NFL draft prospect here in 2025. So, Gavin, let's start with that. Let's start with the process of getting ready to take that leap to the next level. What's been your favorite part of the NFL draft process so far, 1 week out from when the draft begins?
Yeah, no, I think my favorite part so far has just been, you know, really just enjoying the process and, you know, getting familiar with meeting all these new coaches and faces and everybody, you know, training for the combine. I met, you know, so many great people that, you know, I would have never got to meet if it wasn't for that. So really just kind of getting that exposure out there, meeting new people. And yeah, like you said, just getting ready for the next stage.
Taking a look here, you know, Pennsylvania is a hotbed for football here. You stay in state to go to Pitt. Take us through that journey, because just reading your bio, interesting stuff. Played quarterback your senior year, did a lot of things here at the wide receiver slash tight end position. How did you make your way to Pitt and also being a tight end at Pitt?
Yeah, so I actually wasn't even really supposed to be at Pitt. I was committed to Buffalo going into my senior year of high school. And, you know, I thought that was home. I thought that's where I was going to spend my next 4 years. But, you know, in the back of my head, I took a visit to Pitt like my sophomore year, and it always stuck out to me, you know, just the facility, the coaches, the culture that they had here. But I just never had an offer. And then about a week before signing day, Coach Dews called me on my lunch break at work, and he offered me, and I was like, I'm taking it. So committed there on the spot, and then came in here early as an early enrollee. And, you know, they had Lucas Kroll as the tight end here. So I was like, got to try and find a way on the field, and found myself as like the 12 fullback position. So, you know, super blessed and thankful to get on the field early, and, you know, just kind of carried on from there.
And we appreciate that mentality, to say the least. DRS, not just a quarterback to end out his high school career as a senior, a tight end, a defensive end, a punter during his high school playing days in football as well. Gavin Bartholomew can do it all. Gavin, as we talk about being a tight end, either collegiately at Pitt or especially taking that step to the next level, that mentality of being in there or running a route, I ask you this question. Would you rather deliver a mean pancake block or catch a touchdown?
Pancake block for sure. I feel like there's no better feeling than that. Yeah, there's no better feeling than that. You know, just dominating the guy across from you. But I mean, catching touchdowns is fun. Don't get me wrong. But
now, look, we need to get to the important stuff right now, right? So this is where I sort of hijack this, because in college, the swag is so important here. And I see the pictures of you. You got the face paint. You got the right helmet. You got the right face mask. You have the wristbands only on the right arm, which I can appreciate. You got the hairdo. You got the look. Give me some of that swag in the locker room before you come out of the game and say, you know what? Look good, play good, baby.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I'm always trying to, you know, try and spice it up a little bit, not be too generic. But, yeah, I'll rock a couple armbands, maybe a leg sleeve on one leg. I never really go both legs unless it's cold. And then, yeah, I don't like to wear sleeves just because I sweat too much and I don't, you know, ball security. You know, you got to make sure that's great. So
that's swag, the number one
Ben,
thing you gotta
got
to do.
Swag, Ben.
You don't need to tell me, DRS. Ball security, job security. Said he would rather deliver a pancake than catch a touchdown. Gavin Bartholomew flying up draft boards as we speak on this Thursday. Can we go back to the pictures? Again, under the hood right now, but you saw that mullet in Indianapolis at the draft combine. There it is. It's popping out in the helmet. Behind the hood a little bit. There it is. Look at that. Go back to it. Go back to it. Gavin, let's see the sneak peek. Just under the hood, ever so slightly. There it is.
Look at it.
So I got to ask, what is the hair care routine to maintain that beautiful bit of lechuga that you got back there?
Yeah. You know, people always told me, oh, you can't wash your hair, you know, every day. I think it's baloney. I wash it every day. Shampoo, conditioner, I do it all. So got to take care of it.
This guy knows exactly what is needed. Gavin Bartholomew, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Best of luck in the next week or so in finding your next destination in the NFL.
Yes, sir. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. And again, you need that mentality. Started in a fullback spot and would rather deliver a pancake than even catch a touchdown. That's a team guy. Plenty more on the Early Line coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, exactly 1 week away from the start of the 2025 NFL Draft. So to have some more of those draft discussions, who better? Mark Zinno joins us live right here on this Thursday on TEL. We win with Zin, and that's even looking at draft markets, trying to cash some wagers in the next 7 days. Zinno, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on TEL.
Gentlemen, it's good to be back in the saddle here with the normal trio and triumvirate of greatness here that we experience on Thursday mornings.
We were all here together last week, were we not?
I feel like it's been a while. I think you
might have been a little bit under the weather.
No.
Yeah, I get
that.
We missed a week. It's just, you know, listen, you know, I know when my Ben and Donnie rhythm is off, okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Zinno, I do apologize, though. In terms of guests that we have had on the Early Line in this second hour, your hair, far inferior to our last guy, former Pitt tight end, Gavin Bartholomew. You'll have to bring it up with some of your draft discussions. Zinno, let's start with the biggest question each and every NFL draft, the quarterbacks. How many QBs are we going to see? In what order? So on and so forth. Zinno, Cam Ward is a minus 20,000 favorite to go first overall. We'll talk Shedeur Sanders in specifically where he is slotted, but he's a minus 200 price to be a top 10 selection. The question is, how many are we going to see in the opening round? And as the odds makers suggest now, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, a minus 700 price to be a first-round pick, with Jalen Milroe not all that far behind at plus 135. So Mark Zinno, tell us, how many QBs are going in the first round exactly 1 week from tonight?
I would think it would be four. I would kind of be surprised if Jalen Miller doesn't get taken in the first round, more, if anything, than the scenario that happens where, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, the Browns pass on a quarterback and somehow, you know, two guys go and the Saints pass on a quarterback, that either one of those teams trades back in late into the first round to go grab Jalen Milroe just because of the fifth-year option. We've seen teams exploit this before. The Ravens did it most notably with Lamar Jackson. And I'm not expecting Jalen Milroe to turn into Lamar Jackson, but what I am expecting is that teams look at that as a value and say that fifth year means everything to us. It's salary control. It's an extra year of contract. And, you know, it keeps our cap number down, especially if the young quarterback blows up before you get to that scenario and starts to look like an everyday starter in the NFL. So I think you're going to get four. There's always just a need for it. You know, a lot of this may depend, too, on where Shedeur Sanders falls, right? If somehow he falls outside of the top 10, then I don't think you get the run on quarterbacks that you need. But if somebody grabs him inside the top 10, whether it's the Giants or the Saints, whoever it may be, then the other two will most notably come out in the first round as well.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you take a look at quarterback. We always know they're overdrafted, particularly in the first round. You got to get a quarterback. You got to trade up for one. But if we are looking for some of those guys like the high risers, like I do feel like Jackson Dart's getting a lot of positive press. The same thing with Tyler Shook. So let me ask you this question. Is there a chance that Shedeur Sanders is actually not the number two quarterback taken and it could be like a Dart, Shook, or even a Milroe at this point?
I mean, that's one of those moves where if you do it, and it goes bust as a GM, you've put your head on the chopping block. You're getting fired. That's really what, especially if Shedeur ends up hitting and whoever you took, whether it's Milroe or Dart, ends up missing, you never get to live that down as a GM, and you'll ultimately cost you your job. I mean, Shedeur Sanders at this point, it feels unequivocally, regardless of where he gets drafted, is the second best quarterback in this draft. I don't think that's really up for debate from any draft analyst per se. Where they end up getting taken is a different conversation, but from a pure talent standpoint, nobody's going to object to Shedeur Sanders being the second best quarterback in this draft. Some would even tell you he might be the best, but some people aren't willing to take that chance on him.
Yeah, so Zeno, that is the question. And Shedeur Sanders, I think, by one individual, has the opportunity to move the NFL draft one way or the other the most next week on a Thursday in Green Bay. Where does Shedeur Sanders go? And selected by which team? So Zeno, question right back at you. Where does Shedeur Sanders get drafted and by which NFL organization?
There's a part of me that wants the Giants to do it. There's a just because, look, I'm here for interesting. I'm here for stories. I'm also here to rip on my teams when they absolutely do stupid things. And the Giants have given me a lot of fodder this offseason. But so part of me wants them to draft him. I've said this about Sanders. Look, I don't know if he is going to be a superstar quarterback. I think his ceiling is the highest of any quarterback in this draft. Does that mean his floor is the lowest? Maybe. But I would tell you what you're drafting is his upside, his potential, and his pedigree and his ability to just elevate everything around him, much like his old man did wherever he went. So I think he's got the highest potential of anybody. If the Giants don't take him, my feeling is that somebody will go up and get him again, whether it's New Orleans who doesn't wait and says, let's go get him, or somebody else comes inside the top 10 to go grab him because, you know, they think he's worth it at that point in time. If he falls, you know, 5, 6, or 7 range, I would tell you if the Giants pass on him, they better be in tank for Manning mode because that's the only option left. I don't know what else they can do. I mean, why would the Browns, you know, not even take a look at him either? I think that's the other part, too. The Browns may be playing really close to the vest here and may jump on top of him and get him. So I don't know that it's a fait accompli that Travis Hunter is going to the Browns. So I think the Giants probably are the linchpin spot that he goes to. If he gets past 9 at the Saints, that's when the free fall really could be on.
Yeah, it is interesting. Again, we talk about the top three teams really quarterback needy, and there's two legitimate quarterbacks from what we understand would be in this draft, and Shedeur Sanders slipping down is interesting. But let's keep it with the Giants here, because I think their offseason is fascinating and not necessarily in a great way. Like, you have Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. Like Winston and Russell Wilson as your quarterbacks right now. There's no way, Mark. Let's just say they do go three and they go Shedeur Sanders. He's not sitting on the bench behind those two guys, right, and just wasting a year for the New York Giants. Could that possibly be?
I mean, again, you don't draft quarterbacks in the first round, let Correct. Alone inside the top 10, most notably inside the top 5, for them to sit on the bench for a year. Okay? The Falcons tried it. It was stupid. It doesn't work. Okay? You end up playing them regardless. There is no such thing as drafting a quarterback to sit anymore in the first round. It's just not the reality in the NFL. Throw the kid in there. Can he play or can he not play? Find it out as soon as possible. And if he can't, move off the decision. It's that simple. You're maximizing cap space and cap value here with a quarterback on a rookie deal. You don't do that when they sit on the bench, which is, again, why the Falcons botched the whole thing, because they're not maximizing cap space. They still got $40 million sinking into Kirk Cousins doing absolutely nothing. So if the Giants do that, there could be a chance that they release either Winston or Wilson. I mean, Jameis Winston told us what he's here for. Giggles. The Giants haven't won anything outside of a decade, and this quarterback says, I'm here for the giggles. That tells you exactly where the Giants are as a franchise. They hired a guy who thinks this is daycare. It's the NFL. Nobody wants giggles. We want wins. And if Shedeur Sanders is drafted, he's here to win ball games and start.
And Zeno, I think that's a great point, right? Comparing it to the Michael Penix Jr. situation. Because if the Falcons can do that, well, then anybody could shock us and stun us early in the NFL draft and do a similar thing. But again, just because Michael Penix Jr. is starting in his second year does not make it the correct decision. Right. You should have never signed Kirk Cousins and given him $100 million guaranteed to then draft somebody in the top 10 and use that valuable draft capital.
The Giants only spent like $18 million on two quarterbacks, okay? The Falcons spent $40 per year on one. Like, you know. So the Giants can get out from underneath this mistake. They can cut Jameis, they can cut Wilson and say, see ya, and it doesn't really hurt them that much and keep two quarterbacks on the roster. But to your point, Ben, again, you know, the Falcons botched that whole thing, and you'll never get me to say otherwise. And if the Giants draft Sanders and plan on stashing him somewhere, they're even bigger fools than I thought.
The question would just be why? Why make the moves before to do this on draft night? Should be noted that three of those four quarterbacks we showed, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, and Jalen Milroe, will be in attendance in Green Bay. Shedeur Sanders will not, but with Dart and Milroe being there, they're hoping not to sit around very long. More draft conversations outside the QB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So outside of the quarterback conversation for the 2025 NFL Draft, our opening night, round number one, exactly 1 week away, let's talk the other positions and the other top prospects in this draft, including Mark Zeno, our reigning Heisman Trophy winner, in Travis Hunter. The two-way superstar at the college level expects to hear his name early and often on Thursday night next week in Green Bay. His odds now to be that second overall selection, minus 470 for Travis Hunter. His odds everywhere in the top five, as you will see. But again, to be that second overall pick is minus 470, the selection the Cleveland Browns have at this moment. The question, Zeno, is not so much Travis Hunter or his prospect prowess in the NFL draft or where exactly he goes. The question to you is about Travis Hunter, the player. Do you expect him to play on both sides of the football in the NFL?
I do initially. I think that teams will try to exploit that, but it's not realistic for him at the NFL level to think that he can play, you know, eight plays on an offensive series that end up in a touchdown and then do a kickoff and then play the next nine plays on defense and do that for 60 minutes. His body won't last. His body won't hold up. And even if it does for a season or two, it's going to slowly start to – it's just not – you know, as we all know, the level, the speed, the physicality of the game in the NFL is a different level than it is in college. And guess what he's not doing? He's not facing Texas Tech on Sunday. He's facing, you know, the Green Bay Packers. Right? He's not facing TCU's defense. Guess who he's facing? Oh, yes, that's right. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Like, so it's one of these things where he's just not going to be able to hold up. He's not a terribly big guy. He's not a terribly physical guy. He's an incredible athlete and an incredible specimen. But I don't know if his body can hold up on both sides of the ball. I think teams would want to put him at receiver first. I think they would put him in certain nickel packages on defense. You know, in third down situations where he could literally lock down one third of the field, right, and use it that way. But I would expect he would have a heavier workload on one side of the ball than the other. Now, again, I would think him playing corner full time and being put in offensive packages would be easier to get him in and out, because those situations you can sort of force a little bit more on the offensive end as opposed to the defensive side of the ball. But again, I think he would be heavier on one side than the other.
The market is certainly moving, Mark, in a certain direction here for Travis Hunter to be that number two overall pick. Now at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 470 price, Abdul Carter at a plus 350 price. Why the market movement towards Travis Hunter going to Cleveland more than Abdul Carter at this point? And also, do you believe the hype that it is going to be Travis Hunter that does go number two overall?
I think one of two things here has been indicative in Cleveland. Either they are willing to let Joe Flacco start, which, again, you know, I said those words out loud, and I can't believe I did. Or they are saying none of the quarterbacks in this draft class impress us that much. We're going to wait another year, and we hope to be equally as bad and go get, you know, whoever the top quarterback is next year and what looks like to be a little bit more of a fruitful quarterback class. Even if it's not Arch Manning, they'll have other options on the table, and they continue to load their roster. Look, again, the Browns are the biggest problem is that whether they draft a quarterback or not, on paper, they're still probably third or fourth in that division. You know, no question, no fail. So I think that, you know, they know they have a long way to go and they're likely not going to be a playoff team this year. But also, does the possibility exist that there is a move in the works for the Browns to get Kirk Cousins out of the Falcons? I don't know how they'd fit both of those contracts on their roster, because Deshaun Watson's cap hit is still there even if he's not playing, unless they feel like the Falcons are going to eventually, you know, release him and they'll be able to pick him up for nothing. So that's the other route that I think that they may be waiting on here, why they're going to go non-quarterback at number two overall.
Yeah, it is a really interesting thing because, again, at both the end of the NFL and college football season, when we figured out the draft order, those top three teams, but especially the top two in desperate need of a quarterback to change the future of their franchise, the fact that more than likely, as the odds makers are telling us, 1 week away from the NFL draft, the Browns nor the Giants going to use that second or third overall pick on a QB. We'll see if there are some odds upsets by the time we get to Green Bay, Wisconsin next week. Let's talk about the reigning Heisman winner in Travis Hunter. Zeno shared his thoughts in the reigning Heisman runner-up in Boise State's Ashton Jeanty. He is a hefty favorite, Zeno, to be a top 10 pick. Where exactly? Again, that being the question. The Raiders are the minus money favorite to be the team to select Ashton Jeanty at minus 110. But that number was minus 160 just a few days ago. The Raiders hold the sixth overall pick. The Bears, the team with the second best price, draft at number 10 overall. Where does Ashton Jeanty go in next week's opening round of the 2025 NFL draft?
I got to tell you, if I know anything about Mike Vrabel, I don't know how he gets past the Patriots at four. Look, I know they got Ramondre Stevenson. I know they have Antonio Gibson. But has that ever stopped Mike Vrabel from having a stable of running backs in a running game that continues to control the game? Like, I don't know. I know the Patriots have a bunch of needs. I'm not denying that. But again, it feels like that is a very Mike Vrabel type guy. And, you know, a guy who in a year turns into a bell cow back for him that gets the ball 20 to 25 times a game. And something that, you know, he had in Derrick Henry in Tennessee, and what he had all those years in New England, he always had a quarterback, a running back by committee. It never bothered him, right? Like Bill Belichick did that for years. So it shouldn't shock me. It shouldn't shock anybody if the Patriots do it. I have a hard time seeing how he gets past them what it is. But again, if he does get past there, I don't think he would get past the Raiders at six.
Plus 430 right now for Ashton Jeanty with that historic college football season in 2024 to be a top five pick. The Raiders, again, the odds-on favorite at minus 110. Personally, I believe the Patriots have so many other needs outside of the running back spot. They'll look to address it along that offensive line. Will Campbell, the left tackle out of LSU, a minus 190 favorite to go fourth overall would make sense. Blindside blocker, make sure that you protect your biggest asset in Drake May. Zeno, very excited to have the conversation with you up next about both the Atlanta Braves, where you live, and their murky start to this season, and the New York Yankees. As always, we win with Zinn around Major League Baseball. On the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out this second hour live right here on a Thursday on the Early Line. Mark Zitto here with us for a third consecutive segment. Outside of the NFL draft, we win with Zinn as we get ready for a Thursday in MLB. And we get ready for the Atlanta Braves, Zitto, to figure it out? Question mark? Because they're off to a 5-13 start and a promising debut for Spencer Strider in 2025 yesterday in Toronto, but still recorded the loss because his Braves offense only played one run and struck out 19 times against Toronto. 5-13, the beginning to this year for the Braves, who entered the season, Zitto, with the second-best price to win the National League pennant, but after a 0-7 start, in danger, history would tell us, of missing the postseason. Where exactly do you fall on the start of the year, Zitto, for the Atlanta Braves?
I mean, look, this just in, Braves might not be good. Like, I said this all around Atlanta coming into the season. The Braves had a ton of what-ifs. DRS, you and I talked about this, right? Like, you came into the season. What if Spencer Strider is healthy again? What if Ronald Acuna gets back to 40-40 status? What if Matt Olson returns to his form? What if Ozzie Albies stays healthy and is a, you know, 30-30 guy? Like, there's a lot of what-ifs surrounding this team. When you have that many what-ifs, most of them don't come true. Most of them end up being no. And the fact of the matter is that the Braves are top 10 in strikeouts again this year to start the season off. I mean, there was a game pitched yesterday that Spencer Strider's pitched in and had 19 strikeouts, and Spencer Strider wasn't the guy with 19 strikeouts. It was the entire Braves lineup. So that's part of the problem. Matt Olson is still barely batting his weight, and he's only got 2 home runs on the year. You know, Michael Harris, again, the guy who came onto the scene, looked like he was going to be an amazing center fielder and a great hitter. He's batting less than my weight. And the only guy who could really hit on this team still is Marcelo Zuna. You know, Austin Riley's starting to return to form a little bit, but it's not enough. And everybody in Atlanta keeps saying, oh, well, just wait till Acuna gets back. Everything's going to be fine. Wait till Acuna gets back. Okay. You wait for a guy who gets back with 2 surgically repaired knees and expect him to go ahead, be a 40-40 guy. That's a you problem. I don't expect that from a guy with 2 surgically repaired knees. Coming from a guy who's had 2 surgically repaired knees, I am no longer a 40-40 guy.
How about that? There you go. Hitting
that,
for the win.
That implies that you once were, though.
Get into that. Yeah. Where's that?
I didn't say what the 40-40 stood for. I just said it was 40. Okay.
Oh, that's pretty impressive at this point. Now, let's get to the beloved Yankees here on this network, because this is an interesting one. They're on the road, but they're really a home team in this one. More Yankees fans in the building, more Tampa fans in the building. Here's an interesting one tonight, because it's going to be Warren versus Bradley. 2 decent pitchers on the mound, 7.05 for a start. That line opened up as a -116 favorite here towards Tampa Bay. It's a little bit less than that at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -112 right now, with a total of 9 across the board. Heavy ticket count money line-wise coming in on the Yankees. Not a lot of movement here on that number. The Yankees home slash away today down in Steinbrenner Field.
Okay, well, the first thing I'm going to take objection with is where you said 2 decent starters here. There are not 2 decent starters in this game. There's 1 decent starter, and his name is Taj Bradley. Will Warren is a 4A starter at best and barely a major league starter. He's not very good, and he gets priced because he wears his Yankee uniform like he actually is good. That's not the case. Will Warren can get banged around here. And not only that, Taj Bradley last year in 2 starts against the Yankees carried a 0.69 ERA. Opposing hitters on the Yankees hit .116 against him. He went 13 innings and gave up 1 run. And since 2020, by the way, the Rays have owned the Yankees. They've won 66% of the games against the Yankees. And now you're going to get the Yankees to go back to their spring training field where they had an awful spring training and didn't win any games there at all against the de facto home team there in the Tampa Bay Rays, who odds makers have installed as a favorite. I can't love the Rays any more than I do tonight.
What a treat for those snowbirds. That,
Yeah.
What is happening here? What a treat for those snowbirds down in Tampa that get to take in a major league game at George Steinbrenner Field. So now, how about your guy, Aaron Judge, the captain in pinstripes, now Captain America, off to a 409 batting average start to this year. His seventh home run of the season last night to give the Yanks the win against the Royals and a sweep of KC. And now a minus 280 favorite to win the AL MVP. Has he already won the award in 2025?
Well, it's his to lose. If he stays healthy, there's no reason he won't win it. And once again, we're reminded of who the best player in baseball is. His name is Aaron Judge. It's not Shohei Ohtani because, once again, we're watching Juan Soto turn around and go, you know, maybe the guy hitting in front of me last time was pretty good. Maybe he kind of changed things for me a little bit more. And, you know, Soto's got one home run and Judge continues to tear the cover off the baseball. But once again, the Yankees left Aaron Judge and Bronies.
Hour number three, Zeno. We appreciate your time. Comes the way up next.